Hey everybody, welcome back to Self Performance Solutions. I'm Chris McCabe. I am here today with Mark Brueggemann of Cartograph, an agency that we've worked with you guys for, I want to say, 2 or 3 years. Is that accurate?
Sounds about right.
And you are based in New York City.
Just outside of New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. Let's say close to New York. I don't know Jersey so well. That's sort of foreign territory for me. So I met you in the city at least. We've worked on some stuff with you guys. We have conversations about big topics that impact a lot of people, like upcoming Prime Day with agency owners and people who work on brand pain points like yourself. What is the typical conversation you have with a brand owner who's worried about something heading into Prime Day? Or do you typically work with people who are like, we're 100% set, all the deals are ready to go, what could possibly go wrong?
So many things.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to a brand owner going into Prime Day, you know, we're talking about deal strategy, what we want to be mindful of, you know, if we're talking like listing health, right? We want to be mindful of a list price going into Prime Day, right? Your discount has to be 20% lower than your list price, I think 30 days prior to the sale period.
Right.
So that's something to be aware of. We've seen last minute suppressions immediately before Prime Day as well. So playing things safe, making sure your listings are clear of anything that might cause a flag. Prime Day is not the day to experiment with, I wonder if Amazon will cash me for doing this. So avoiding any of those errors. But otherwise, it's mostly structuring deals. We're looking at couponing strategies going in, setting up advertisements, how we want to handle our advertising strategy to build consumer interest. And then after Prime Day, following up and making sure we tap back into those consumers. And do anything we can to kind of help support sales rank after the Prime Day hangover.
Right. One of our favorite hangovers is the Prime Day hangover. But at least we get a chance in later July to kind of recoup. And that's not quite like Black Friday, Cyber Monday. After that's over, you're like, oh yeah, by the way, it's still peak holiday for another 3 weeks or 2 weeks. Do people ever watch what their competition's doing and get worried like, hey, these guys are doing this? We should be doing it. Why aren't we doing it? You're proposing that we do something new from different from last year. Do you have those kinds of conversations with people?
Yeah. I think one of the largest items that I've typically been asked about is these guys are doing like 30%, 40%, 50% discount, right? Like you see people go pretty steep. And in some categories that works. Interestingly enough, and this is something, you know, again, certain things I necessarily don't want to experiment with on Prime Day, maybe in other tentpole events. But steeper discounts in some categories can actually negatively impact conversion rate. This is something I have seen in the past where we have premium goods, specifically one case it was tea, where we tried running with a 50% discount. We had overstock and we were trying to move through units a little bit faster and conversion rate dropped significantly. And it turned out consumers were actually concerned that the product was not of sufficient quality, that there was a bad reason that it was being discounted so heavily. So it makes you less quick these days to drop steep discounts on them. On one hand, the client gets to save a little bit. They're making a little bit more money. They're not having to lose as much to a discount. But a consumer also has a level of assurance that, you know, the product isn't of such low quality that you can afford to discount it by 50%.
Yeah. And I mean, the ad space has changed a lot too. Are people talking about ads versus Prime Day as much now? Or is that kind of the same as it was last year? Because the ad space just seems to have exploded in terms of using AI, testing the A/B testing of different concepts. I mean, I don't know if 12 months has completely changed it, revolutionized it, or if it's just like tweaks.
There are more things we're doing now. Like we have access to things like brand tailored promotions, which I guess isn't strictly advertising. It tends to be a type of promotion, but running it does get you exclusive placements. If you get push notifications on your phone, exclusive deals just for you. Brand tailored promotions have been targeted with some specific discount for a product. You know, it's, you know, certain like newer levers brands are interested in. Subscribe and save coupons, somewhat new. It's one of those things that can work. It depends on the business. It depends on how much of a discount you're offering. Subscribe and save, but motivation is usually, you know, a significant discount, right? You know, 10% coupons, not going to cut it probably. So it's a lot of that we have to be mindful of. Like we see competitors doing these things and like, can we do it too? Like, well, you know, how does your margin shake out? We're doing unit level economics. We're looking at what your cost breakdown is on a per unit sold basis. So it's something that we try to be mindful of as we get close to Prime Day.
Right. Do people talk about the types of things that we work on in terms of last year I had a random ASIN restriction or I was asked to appeal something right before Prime Day? Are those the types of things where people express concern about it way before it happens, or do they really only bring it up if there's some sort of crisis or emergency like the night before?
Savvy brands are going to be a little bit more on edge. They know what can happen in the dietary supplement space, especially, right? We now have these lab service requests that brands have to go through. So now it's sending product out to a lab and getting it tested. We're seeing like 6 to 8 week turnarounds in some cases, but from initiating the request to being live again. So, right, if you're in the supplement space, personally, this is a question I'm asking between now and Prime Day. Am I going to get hit with a request for lab services 2 days before Prime Day? Outside of that, I've had things like in the toy category, we got hit with a test. There's like a lead test that you're supposed to perform on kids, children's toys, something to that effect. We got hit with that request day before Prime Day. So things like that can be concern a lot of sellers' minds.
Yeah, and not to give anyone ideas, but I think this is already out there. Some competitor attacks have taken the form of trying to create doubt over whether their competitors have compliance documentation ready to go. And then magically, mysteriously, that seller is asked to produce those documents. So I think that's kind of a lingering trick from last year. Hopefully Amazon's kind of caught up on that and they're aware of these things, that they're being kind of played a little bit.
Yeah, to that point, even the software space, it just takes one person complaining. I think my favorite one is, this product tasted so bad, it made me nauseous. Right? Not saying that there's anything wrong with the product. Maybe you're using hyperbole. It's all Amazon needs to hear. They will shut your listing down and they'll start putting you through the compliance process. So there are black hat tactics like that that sellers should be aware of.
I think Amazon's getting at least a little bit better. I mean, that was bad last year. And the year before. I think now Amazon's kind of catching up to this idea of, you know, maybe we're being played here. I mean, they don't really think about it when it's an automated trigger and requesting documentation. People might just not really even give it a second thought if they see a buyer complaint that says certain things. But there's much more of a concept now that Amazon has to punish some people for reporting their competitors for something that's not legitimate, that's fake. And they've started suspending sellers. I mean, I've seen it on the suspension side. They have started suspending people more for, you made false allegations against a competitor, or you tried to weaponize us to make them look bad or to make us do something against them.
Wow.
And they weren't really hip to that as much until, I would say, this past spring. So
it's shocking it took them that long, but they caught on to it. It's definitely been prevalent for a while now.
Usually there's like an initial mistake where an action is taken. I'm saying you can contest it more easily now. You can say, this is a mistake. We're disputing it. We're being falsely accused. These guys have done it before. That is much easier to make that argument now than way back when you were saying, oh, I'm being attacked. This is a mistake. We've already passed this process, whatever it might be for compliance, where Amazon would say, oh yeah, sure, it's a mistake. Yeah, yeah. They didn't believe you. They're more likely to believe that you're being attacked now. That's my good news.
That's good. That's excellent. That's a huge change for Amazon.
Yeah. And I think they're also a bit more suspicious of timing. You know, for years, black hat attacks would happen on like Friday night at midnight. And for some of the clients we had, it would be every Friday night at midnight. Oh, and so the timing, I think they're kind of hip to this idea of, they're trying to hit you when you're paying the least attention or when you're at your weakest, or if it's right before Prime Day, right before Black Friday. I mean, you're right. Like we should have been talking about this in 2022, but they're finally catching up to these. So people have kind of made some plans for deals. They've got strategy already set up. Do you guys as agency owners have contingency plans in case there's a glitch, there's a technical problem, their listing goes down? Whether it's an Amazon screw up or a technical issue, do you have irons in the fire already?
I think a good example of this is lightning deals. These are really prone to issues pretty often. Whether it's maybe you accidentally set your committed number of units too low, so the deal 100%, you know, it's user error, but you know, it could be that. I've had it where Amazon reflected a lightning deal was running, but you pull up the detail page in a Prime account and no lightning deal. So in those situations, we want to have these listings prepared with Prime exclusive discounts to run it with rounds. So what will happen is if a lightning deal and a Prime exclusive discount are scheduled at the same time, only the lightning deal runs. So something like that is a great contingency in the event that, okay, my lightning deal's gone down. There's been a technical issue. It says it's running, but it's not. Worst case, you could simply end the lightning deal and the Prime exclusive discount should take over. Or alternatively, if the Lightning deal never ran to begin with, or if there was some other error for it, the prime exclusive discount should just take over automatically. Or if the Lightning deal just ends due to all units being claimed. So you can at least ensure that you have something there to support the listing in that situation. Otherwise, it's mostly just sitting there and watching. You know, are my deals active, checking in, are my listings okay? To your point, you know, this is when you're most likely to be under attack. A seller could come along and add all your units to their cart and try to, you know, take them out of circulation. That's something that I've seen before. So things like that, you just want to be prepared. Maybe it's turning on an FBM listing instead, just so you have something to offer if there's a more gray issue on your FBA listings.
And now some of your clients have SAS core reps, or a majority, or a majority don't.
A majority. There's a wait list to get an SAS rep. Right. Most recently, we saw it around like a 3-month wait. And you need to have minimum sales volume before SAS will even talk to you. So people are left out in the cold because they haven't quite reached that point yet. Other accounts, it's a question of whether or not the investment is worth it. SAS is helpful in certain situations. I'm sure you have more insight on that on your end.
I think when there's a crisis around Prime Day, depending on the rep, sometimes they act quickly and know what to do. I think it's useful if they have both of those, like the skills and the experience, so they know what to do and they act quickly. You kind of need them both together. If you only have, well, they act quickly, but they take the wrong action, obviously that's not very helpful. And we've had to kind of pick up the slack in a few instances where that happened. Or if they do have the wherewithal to take the right actions, but they're not that responsive. Of course, Prime Day is only 2 days, so they have to be responsive in order to create an internal escalation or to show their prowess in this field or their ability to make an impact that's going to, you know, positively affect your revenue for that 2-day period. Otherwise, if you don't have both of those acting together in unison, then you're probably missing out on something.
Exactly, yeah. And I think one of the advantages for the SAS reps is they can trigger something called a hot PO. So if you need, like, if it's where it shuts in faster, you know, that is partially with Prime Day coming up, that's a great ability to have. Sometimes, you know, bad situations occur. Actually, I think one that I forgot about was FC processing, you know, the state of the inventory being in a reserved state under investigation, right? I think we've all seen this. I've seen where the majority of the seller's inventory gets locked in that state immediately before something like Prime Day, which is just the absolute worst timing you could possibly imagine. So in situations like that, I would expect having a savvy SAS rep to be pretty helpful. I've spoken with people that had a prior experience in Amazon's warehouses, so they had greater insight than others.
Do you ever hear people looking past Prime Day? Like they expect, oh, Prime Day is going to be this. These are our projections. Let's talk about Q4, the second Prime Day is over. Is that the point we're at now with brand management and selling on Amazon? You're looking 3-4 months down the road because of the low inventory fees, other fees, things like that.
It's by the low inventory fees have not played as much of a role as I expected that they would. Amazon's changes to that policy have, they made a lot of changes before enacting it. I think the final state that it took was pretty good. It was nerfed quite a bit. In terms of like planning ahead, right? This is, you know, Prime Day is going to come. We have the rest of the summer. So there's a lot of categories that are simply down during those months. I think in protein powder's worst month of the year, September. Summer's over. Summer bodies are made in the summer. And summer's over.
Well, September is the month to let yourself go.
Exactly. They start bolting up for the winter, so you can get into hibernation.
Interesting.
But so yeah, a lot of the conversation then becomes, you know, like we have tentpole events. We have Prime Day. Some brands, we have back to school, right? Back to school is coming. There are brands that apply there. So how do we build momentum from one to the next? How do we keep people in the funnel that we've worked so hard to acquire? Tons of people are discovering new brands for Prime Day. The week leading up to Prime Day, there's a lot of customers that are still doing research. Even if you compare day one versus day two of Prime Day, you're going to see much lower conversion rates on day one because a lot of customers are coming back on the second day after having looked around, shopped around, looked at what deals were running. On day two, they decide what to buy. So now, having all these new customers, all these people who are aware of you, how do you keep them, you know, how do you keep your brand top of mind for these consumers until the next tentpole event or whatever motivates them to purchase? So if you have back to school, you want to at least stay top of mind for when back to school comes. Otherwise, you might have to wait till fall Prime Day in October. And then you have T5 coming later in Q4 as well.
Right.
For giftable brands, right, you have Christmas coming. So the entire lead up to Christmas, up to like the 20th, there's people still buying gifts. I worked on a toy brand once and 90% of our sales were in, for the entire year, were in the first 3 weeks of December. It's things like that to be aware of.
One day prime.
One day, exactly, making sure you're...
Yeah, point five day prime.
Making sure that you're distributed across every single location possible.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, even that, if you have like inventory concerns, right? I think at this point we are officially past the shipping cutoff for Prime Day. One thing that for brands in a difficult operation situation where, you know, maybe supply was low before Prime Day, one feature that we were taking advantage of is Amazon's placement services. You can select West Coast, East Coast, or Central U.S. for your shipping destination. And so we were rotating through regions for shipping in inventory to kind of like, so that by the time inventory is checked in, we're already distributed throughout all the fulfillment center network. So things like that can kind of speed things along.
Nice. Do you work on the creative side too? Like one thing I'm always watching YouTube videos for, I mean, different people covering the Amazon space from different angles. I'm always wondering why YouTube isn't feeding me like Prime Day specials for like different brands doing their YouTube videos. For some reason, the algorithm isn't pushing brand video content to me about Prime Day, but maybe there's a reason for that.
I think that a lot of brands are afraid of their advertising or rather advertising their Amazon channel will end up cannibalizing their D2C. Right? They want to prioritize D2C, maybe brick and mortar. I think there's still a lot of fear amongst brands around Amazon. They think it's going to erode at their consumer base. One point that I've made in the past to brands is that consumers know Amazon exists, right? If they're shopping with D2C, through a D2C channel, it's not because they've never heard of Amazon. They know it's there. They know it's an option. But D2C customers will generally prefer the purchasing D2C. You're not really going to see a lot of customers migrate away from D2C over to Amazon just because they saw an ad for your Prime Day sale. So I think that's I think we'll see more advertising in channels like Google, social media, YouTube, as brands see that there's not as much cannibalization as they originally suspect.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't think of it that way, for sure. Well, Mark of Cartograph, thanks so much for joining us. Any last insights about Prime Day, or should we just give people a chance to contact you? The best way to reach you?
I'll reach out through gocartograph.com. So the contacts form. You'll place a brand manager like myself, a warm part of our team, a lot of smart people here. And yeah.
Any last words of wisdom in terms of Prime Day, other than watch your back?
Watch them. Please don't take any of the things you heard here as advice as far as tactics.
Exactly.
Please to stay out. Thank you, please.
Yeah, exactly. Please leave Mark's brands alone just for a couple days, at least for a couple days.
Give me a break. Yeah.
You can ease off. All right. Thanks again, Mark, for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Teleperformance Solutions. We'll catch you next time.